really think He's awesome?
Hallelujah.
Let's give Him some praise and worship. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We worship You, O God. We magnify You, God. We thank You for Your presence. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your glory. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen, amen. Before you're seated, I have a miracle report. Had a cyst removed from my upper eyelid a few weeks ago. And it was sent to the laboratory, and the report came back with my tang all tangled up. Come on, tell me what it was. Carcinoma. And that required some further surgery to make sure they got rid of it. So I went back in. They did some scraping. In the meantime, my family, my good wife, and I were praying that the initial surgery got it all. There wasn't any carcinoma left. So we waited a bit anxiously for the report from the lab to come back. And the nurse and the doctor came in a little bit quiet because they found no carcinoma. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God gets all the glory. Amen, amen. Thank God. I really feel they felt like it was there until they got the report. There's all kind of things wrong with us until we get the report. And whose report do we believe? I believe the report of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. And I'm just a little bit overwhelmed tonight because of our recent guest ministers. I mean, who wants to follow Brother Treadway and Brother Kurz? Now, those guys, they didn't leave much left to say. But God knows what we need. Amen. Appreciate having Brother and Sister Putnam with us tonight. Amen. God is a holy God. And I want you to go with me to Isaiah chapter 6. And I want to talk about His holiness for a little bit tonight. The holiness of God. Let me say this first. In April, I preached to you from this subject on this scripture on the subject of the presence of God. And tonight I am picking up where I left off in that sermon. I want to be more aware of His presence. I wouldn't even want to stand here without His presence. I wouldn't even care to be here without His presence. We are all aware of that. And I want to try tonight to help us all become a little more aware of God's presence. Furthermore, to be moved by God's presence. And hopefully, help us to be aware of God's holiness. America today has lost the fear of God. And I would certainly hope His church does not lose that fear. Hallelujah. Isaiah 6 and 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy. Is that a little familiar tonight? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth, not just Madison or Dane County or Wisconsin or the U.S. of A., the whole earth is filled with his glory. Amen, amen. And the posts of the door were moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am undone. Where is Isaiah? In the temple, in the presence of the holy God. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, Isaiah said. And he said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I wonder if I could get us all to focus on Jesus Christ for a few moments tonight. Slip your hands up and ask him to purge you from everything that should not be there. God, you're in this place tonight. Thank you for the worship, the might, the strength, and the power that we are feeling here in this place today. I pray that you would anoint, oh God, this message tonight, because I feel that you have given it to me for this body of people, this group of people. Wrap your arms around us. Cleanse us. Cleanse us, oh God. Purge us, oh God. Oh God, make us whole. Deliver us from things that beset us. Take away the temptations of life. Give us the strength and the character to say no to the devil and yes to you. Guide us in your paths. Be here, God, in a powerful and mighty way. For the whole earth is filled with your glory. For the whole earth is filled with your glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and worship him one more time. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Brother Paul Mooney recently told a personal illustration in one of his sermons that is worth repeating here in regard to our subject. When he was a young man, he told of taking off early from his work back in the 1960s, drove over from Indianapolis to Columbus, Ohio, to hear a highly regarded elder of the Pentecostal movement of that time, Bishop Carl F. Smith, was speaking at a church gathering. The Mooney tells of being excited to hear him and patiently waiting through lengthy preliminaries to hear his sermon. He was finally introduced to the congregation, came to the pulpit to speak, talking about Brother Smith at this point. Brother Smith read his scripture, and almost from the beginning, he was heavily anointed by the Holy Ghost. He was deeply being led and moved upon by the Spirit. Brother Mooney said this about Brother Smith, and I'm quoting him here. He said, even though I was quite a young man, I was deeply impacted by his sermon, as were hundreds of others in the congregation, and I have never to this day forgotten his message, unquote. Brother Mooney went on to tell how, within the first few minutes, people began to pray and weep and step from where they were sitting, literally pulled from their pews by the power of the Spirit and without an invitation. As the message progressed, began to make their way to the front. Hundreds left their pews during the sermon and gathered around the altar. Listen. They fell on their knees in prayer, Others fell prostrate and among them on the floor. And I felt almost that same drawing of the Spirit during the sermon Sunday night, and was greatly convicted last Monday afternoon when I pulled up Brother Kurz's Sunday morning sermon and listened to it. And I am hungry tonight. I am hungry for that kind of depth of the Spirit of God that would, and our focus being on Jesus, that would feed us from heaven with the Word of God and the power of God, that would keep us full of the fear of God and respect for His house and His church. And our scripture text, at this particular time when Isaiah came to the temple, there was a crisis of sovereignty in the nation of Judah, because King Uzziah, the reigning monarch of Judah for many years, had died. He died in the 8th century before Christ. His reign was important in Jewish history because he was one of the better kings in Judah's history. King Uzziah was not a David, but neither did he fall for the idolatry and corruption that characterized the kings of the north. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 4, the Bible tells us King Uzziah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. This extreme crisis, losing their longtime king, brought Isaiah to the temple for God's guidance. Then the second verse of Isaiah 6, it says, above it, speaking of the throne of God, stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain did he fly. Now, we need to understand these seraphims were angelic beings. They were not sinful human beings with impure hearts and unclean minds. Yet, even angelic beings are still creatures made by God. And even though they were angels, members of the heavenly host, it was still necessary for them to shield their eyes from the glory of God. And it was still required of them to cover their feet in the presence of God. Say, what does that mean? That's how holy God is. That's how holy He is. They, the seraphims, were fearfully and wonderfully made also. And apparently they were equipped by their Creator with a special pair of wings to cover their faces in His majestic presence. They had a second pair of wings given to them to cover their feet. This equipment, we need to understand, was not an angelic shoe to protect the soles of their feet or to allow them to walk in the heavenly temple. The covering of the feet's for a different reason. The seraphim are not of the earth. Their feet are not made of clay. As angels, they are spirit beings, but they are still creatures. They respected the presence of God. Hallelujah. They are also creatures living in the exalted presence and the holiness of God. Considering this, we now come in my mind to the most important part of Isaiah's vision. It's the song of the seraphims who declare the awesome message of this text. Verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled or full of His glory. Now this praise went from them, and this worship of God went from them. It consists of a repetition of the word holy. Three times The word holy is sung or cried out in succession, meaning simply this, not just that he is holy, but that he is three times holy. Stay with me right here, because we've heard some of the beautiful singing. Did you enjoy that singing? That was good music. And they were repeating worthy and holy over and over. That means something in God's eyes. Just quickly reading through this verse, you can easily miss the depth of its meaning. Let me go back briefly, if you will, and think about repetition of words in the Bible. Because in Hebrew literature, you find repeated words always had a special meaning. Repeating words was a form of re-emphasizing the thought behind them. When we want to emphasize words in English, we have several ways of doing it. If we're writing, we can capitalize the word, or we can underline the word or sentence the phrase. We can also print them in italics or use boldface type, or we can attach an exclamation point following the words, or we can set them off in quotation marks or highlight them using some color. These are all devices to emphasize a word or phrase, to call the reader's attention to something that is especially important. The Old Testament writer also had different techniques to emphasize what he wanted to emphasize. One such device was this method of repetition. You see it in Jesus' teaching when he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." The double use of the word verily, or truly, as newer translations have it, was a sign that what Jesus was about to say was of crucial importance. In these verses, I have often translated verily, verily, as definitely, positively, without doubt, this is true. And that's what it means. In fact, I understand that the word translated verily or truly comes from the ancient Hebrew word that actually also gives us amen. We normally think of the word amen as something people say at the end of a sermon or a prayer. It means simply, let it be true, or it is true. But Jesus never needed to wait to the end to say amen. Since he didn't need validation, and he didn't need verification from others, and he didn't need to wait till the end, Jesus used amen as a preface instead of a response. It's as if he is saying, listen to the truth I'm telling you. So it was, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born of water and of the Spirit. He said amen first because it's true. Verily, verily, I say unto you, unless you repent, you'll all perish, because it was true. Amen. I love truth. I love truth. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know the truth tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 But there are some occasions when the Bible repeats something three times. To the third degree. To say something three successive times is to elevate it to the very highest degree. It gives emphasis of super importance, urging us to pause, think about it, meditate on it. It's like magnifying something not just once or twice, but magnifying it three times. There's another time in the scripture when this attribute of God is elevated three times. Three times. Twice in the Bible, this characteristic of God is mentioned three times. You can read it in Revelation 4 and verse 8, where it says, "And the four beasts rest not day and night, saying," say it with me, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And what it's saying is, Lord God Almighty, who was holy and is holier and is holiest. Hallelujah. Think about it. We never see it emphasized. You never read it emphasized that God is love, love, love. Now, we may want the Bible to say that, but it really doesn't. Nor do we read that God is grace, grace, grace. Nor does it say God is mercy, mercy, mercy. But it does say, oh, I feel the power of God here. It does say that God is holy, holy, holy. In other words, God is more holy than you can imagine. And then he is holier than that. And then he is holiest of all. Oh, folks, if we can understand that we're sitting in the presence of a holy God, it will change our opinion of who we are. If we can finally grasp the fact that we are children of a holy God, it makes us look at life from different eyes, with different eyes, from a different viewpoint. Gives us more of a reason to live, because he just doesn't say, try to do good. He says, do good. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. It doesn't just say, make a good stab at it. It says, do it in my name, and I'll be there with you and help you do it. Hallelujah. Because I am not just holy or more holy. I am most holy of all. Clap your hands to the Lord. Give him some praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Now let's lift our hands together and worship. Let's just unload all that's bothering us. Focus on the holy God, Jesus, the Holy One, the holiest of holy, the holiest of all. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's let it waft toward God. Let's let it go higher. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are the holy God. You are the mighty God. You are the holiest of all. You are everything. I cried, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I challenge you tonight. I challenge you tonight for the next few minutes. If you will just turn loose of everything, if you will just focus on Jesus. I know you got problems. I know you got cares. I know there are things bothering you, the things on your mind. But I want to tell you something. When you get done praising and worshiping him, they'll all still be there. But you, if you will just listen to him and worship him and praise him, in this place tonight, you will be surprised what a difference it makes. And your problems will get smaller. And your problems will just kind of melt away. And you can begin to see that really, it really, he really is holy. He really is. He really is. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know how better to express it. I'm not trying to lead you anywhere or do anything with you. I'm just trying to tell you, above all your problems, there's a holy God. Beyond all your cares, there's a holy God. Hallelujah. Within the depths of your soul, there's not just any God, not just a God. He is a holy God. You can trust him. You can depend on him. You can count on Him. You can be with Him. You can walk with Him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. There are things going over in my mind, and I don't have the words to say them all. I just want to show you Jesus. I want to point you to the Holy God, the holiest God of all. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him a little more. Come on, let's turn it loose. Oh, yes. Let's let Him come down and move in this place. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, You are holy, and then You are more holy. And then we know You are most holy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You are most holy of all. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Okay, I feel like saying this. It's not part of my sermon, but I feel like there's a transition in our lives as we move with God. I think if you remember when we first came here and I was called upon to preach, I preached a message or taught a Bible study, however you'd want to classify it, on tracking Jesus, following Jesus. Everybody that came to Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry, most everybody, He encouraged them to follow Him. Just follow Him. And He led them. But as He led them, they got closer to Him. They got closer to Him until they were with Him. They were walking with Him. Walking with Him. He was holy. And they were changing. And then there is the feelings, and saying this without notes on it, I just have to let you trust that it's in there. There's encouragement to run with Him. Keep on running. Whatever hampers you, hinders you, keep on running. But I saw something just the other day that I hadn't ever seen before. I said something about it Sunday afternoon in Spanish. And I have to tell you this. I want to tell you, if you go through the Psalms, you pick out the worship areas, the praise areas, you will find several references to dancing. And the thought hit me. What if God encourages us to follow Him and walk with Him and live for Him so that when the rough places of life comes, and invite you to come and dance with Him a little bit. Woo. Hallelujah. I am just wanting this group to know tonight that God's hand is extended and He's saying, yeah, there's rough places ahead. Yeah, it's not all smooth. But if you'll just come and dance with me, we'll make it all the way home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. The hand is extended. We're going to make it. He's on our side. He never lets us down. He never walks away from us. He never leaves us alone. He never hurts us. He never lets anything hurt us. He just said, come on, walk with me. I'll carry you when you're too heavy, when it's too rough for you. And I'll dance with you if you'll come. And let me just take you in my arms and we'll dance through life together. Amen. Could it be that we're taking everything that comes our way too seriously? Could it be that we could just let a few more things go and let him lead us and guide us, dance with us? Hallelujah. Let's worship him again. Give him some praise. Amen. God is a holy God. God is a holy God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Got promoted a couple weeks back. God promised if everything goes well, we really trust in him. What is it, 70? Anybody know how long that is? And I got promoted. I'm 77. I got 7 years more than I was promised. And I'm enjoying them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank God for a good sound body. I don't know why. I don't know how I missed the accidents and the broken legs and arms, etc., of life. But I thank God for it. I thank God for a good eye that I can see through. I thank God for a voice that I can still praise him. Hallelujah. I thank God for arms to worship him with. I thank God that he's a holy God and he loves his children and he cares about us and he wants to walk with us. He wants to dance with us. He wants us to build a throne of praise for him so we can worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, you're just going to let us worship him? Let's all worship him a bit. Stand up and give him praise. Stand up and glorify him. Magnify him. Lift him up. Hallelujah. We have a lot to be thankful for. Amen, amen, amen. Give him thanks. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Into his courts with praise. Oh, what a wonder, what a wonder, what a wonder. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You may be seated just for a few minutes. Amen. Amen. I'm almost done. Revelation 4, 10, and 11. This is not what we just read a little bit ago. This tells us that the heavenly creatures that felt God's holy power fell down before him that sat on the throne. Worship him that liveth, which means continues to live forever and ever. Cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You see, in Isaiah 6, Isaiah hears this from the seraphims and instantly understands its depth of meaning. And Isaiah was deeply moved by this experience. We could say that he was actually shocked and not be wrong. Verse 5, then said I, Isaiah 61, verse 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. That's wrong scripture, Isaiah 6 and 5. Okay, get it right. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, as we are focused on Jesus Christ, we are looking at the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords and the God of all gods, who is a not just a holy God, but a more holy God, a most holy God. We are seeing him, and it's affecting us, because suddenly when we see him and know that he sees us, we are aware of our faults and failures. Our sins are graphically exposed before us. And we suddenly realize that we can't stand in his presence, nor can we sit in his presence. The only way to be in his presence is on our knees with cries of repentance. Lord, forgive me. I would venture to say that there may be some sitting here that don't think you've ever failed God. But if I know anything about human beings, we have all failed him at one time or another. We have. But there is cleansing. The blood has been shed. It's already washed away. He's just waiting for someone to repent. Amen. Amen. Isaiah in his presence was instantly convicted of his personal sin. Not only that, he was convicted of the sin of his people. And if you don't think you have much to repent for, you can at least repent for the sins of America and Wisconsin and Dane County and Madison. Oh, I didn't do that. No, you didn't. But they still need to be repented of. Isaiah recognized the sanctity of the temple. And beyond that, the majestic holiness of Almighty God. Let me tell you what Isaiah went through there. Doesn't say this in the Bible, but R.C. Sproul, who is a Bible scholar with his own personal deep experience with God, described Isaiah in the temple on that day, and I quote his words. He says, Isaiah was apparently groveling on the floor. Every nerve fiber in his body was trembling. He was looking for a place to hide. He was praying that somehow the earth would cover him or the roof of the temple would fall upon him. Anything to get him out from under the holy gaze of a holy God. But there was nowhere to hide. He was naked and alone before God. Unlike Adam, Isaiah had no Eve to comfort him, no fig leaves to conceal him. He was pure moral anguish, the kind that rips out the heart of a man and tears his soul to pieces. Instead of holy, 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 it was guilt, 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 relentless guilt, screaming from his every pore, unquote. Thus, for Isaiah, it was great conviction of his uncleanness. Guilt, guilt, guilt in the presence of the holy, more holy, most holy God. Singers would come. You see, I really do believe that God in all his holiness is in this place right here, right now. No, we can't see him with our natural eyes, and we may not feel him. But I assure you that he's here. He is here. I believe that if he stopped by our side, and I include myself with everyone here, and if he looked deep into our eyes, we would be just as devastated as Isaiah was, no matter how good we think we are. Hallelujah. You see, we should never think of God as just another family member calling out to us. We must never, ever think when he calls, oh, it's just God. When he calls, he has a divine purpose in mind. When he touches our lives, he wants to do something with us. He does not want to leave us where we were, but make us what we should be. Amen. When we find God near to us, we must lift our hands and reach out to him in repentance. And take his fresh invitation for a fresh start. We need him. We need him. There's something about acknowledging and recognizing that you're in the presence of God that brings conviction with it. Things we thought no one else knew about come back to us again. Things that happened so long ago you'd probably totally forgotten reappear. And that's what happened to Isaiah. That's what we'd experience also. That's the power of anointed preaching and teaching. It brings God close to us. Let's stand together. And let me tell you, I'm not telling you we're all mean or bad or evil. No, I'm not saying that. But whatever, big or little, great or small, that is between you and God, He wants to rid you of that. He wants to cleanse us of that. If you want to make things right with God, just come on down. Talk to Him tonight. Just step out from where you are and just come. I'm not saying you're sinners. We all are, saved by grace. I want you to know you need to make everything right with Him. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 It's beautiful. Just come down and find your place to kneel before Him.